Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guest.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm Paula McMillan, CPA, PFS, CFP, CGMA, a senior financial advisor at Stearns Financial Group in Greensboro, North Carolina. I am delighted to speak with you about widow can feel like a four-letter word, supporting the surviving spouse. Part of the four-part podcast series, Women and Wealth, Her Unique Needs and Preferences. This series is a follow-up to my previous podcast series, Retirement Planning. Today is the second best time to start, which listeners may also want to check out. Today we'll explore the challenges and planning ideas around the unique needs of the surviving spouse. Be sure to also tune in to other podcasts in the series for fresh perspectives and actionable ideas on how to better understand and successfully support women in transition. Women taking the reins, financial influence on the move. Breadwinner women sandwiched between career, children, and caregiver. And women navigating divorce, independence, and finances. So let's get moving as we begin exploring widow can feel like a four-letter word, supporting the surviving spouse. Abandoned, adrift, foggy, numb, drained, overwhelmed, disconnected, guilty, angry, depressed, insecure. These are just some of the conflicting feelings she experiences when part of her is ripped away and discarded at the death of a beloved spouse. One woman recalled wanting to crawl into the casket with her husband at the funeral to escape from her intense grief. When the spouse passes, the survivor is left with a locked-up box of personal poignant memories, unspoken words, shared expressions, and secret touches shared only with her soulmate. He was the one who countered her movements, finished her sentences, and accepted her for who she was. He's now gone forever, and she knows this but keeps forgetting. She's devastated to be brought to reality again. This struggle for normalcy can continue for months or years. Clients in this fragile state require a special understanding, patience, and genuine empathy. Not taking the time to truly understand some of the nuances of this traumatic experience would not only be negligent, but also callous. Most surviving spouses are women. A survey of people over the age of 70 demonstrates that 3/4 of the population is female. The average age of a widow is actually only 56. Women tend to outlive their husbands by 14 years. While 80% of men die married, 80% of women die single. As a trusted advisor to a client thrust into this delicate, unfamiliar, and vulnerable state, you are honored to have the opportunity to truly help her. What you do and don't do can make a difference in her ability to navigate this transition and the length of time it takes for her to find her new normal. Some surviving spouses find the term widow loathsome, humiliating, and unfamiliar. Because widows don't want to be perceived as weak, most, and even less widowers, never join a support group. They don't want to be defined by their status of losing a loved one. However, a widow-led mutual help group can feel more natural and less clinical, like a gathering of friends. Joining one of these groups can shorten and help ease the intensity of the grief. Because widows are not always eager to seek out this kind of help or camaraderie, you'll sometimes find yourself playing an expanded role in this person's recovery. Often the trusted advisor is one of the people the widow will open up to the most. Her trusted advisor is one of the first people she seeks out for help in straightening out her affairs during this transition. In being sensitive to your client and friend, it is also important to pay attention to what you say and how you say it at a more granular level. There are certain things you can say that can be taken very differently than the way intended by someone in a bereaved state simply because of their current mindset. Comments you mean to be supportive can actually make the surviving spouse angry or frustrated. Be leery of expressing comments or statements like the following. How are you? This generic nature of what is probably a well-meaning question can upset someone going through such complex emotions. While all widows are different, widows have told me that they perceive this question as trite, ridiculous, and superficial. Let me know if I can do anything. Many times she will not take you up on this because she doesn't know how serious you are or does not want to appear weak. It's better to let her know specifically what you are good at and offering to do. Depending on the person and offer, consider just showing up with it or sending it. You look great. You are so strong. This one can actually make a surviving spouse angry. I've been told by clients who are widowed that they hear it over and over again from friends and family seeking to fill an awkward void at a time when they don't feel any semblance of being feeling or looking great or strong. They say these types of remarks make them feel uncomfortable. It underscores that you really don't understand them and makes them wonder what they're doing wrong. It even takes away their opportunity to share their grief with you should they want to do so. They fear destroying this complimentary image you've built and cast them in. You stay so busy. You seem to have a busier social life than anyone I know. This can uncomfortably, unknowingly highlight that they are never home because home is a reminder that their deceased spouse is not there. In the beginning, widows often find ways to stay busy and a way to avoid being home where so many memories of him linger. Again, this underscores that you are not in touch with what they are going through. In working with widows, remember one size fits one. Each widow is unique in their grieving and what is ultimately helpful for them in finding their new normal. However, in an effort to be truly helpful, there are some things to keep in mind as you try to comfort and help your client and friend through this painful transition. Encourage her participation if she is able. While it's tempting to do as much as possible for widows going through the grieving process, be careful. You can actually impede her healing. It's good for widows to participate in some of the decision-making in transition. Helpful family members often want to assume all of the funeral arrangements. Competent advisors often want to help her quickly get through all of the items on her financial checklist. Slow down. Let her take a meaningful role in it. It will likely help her come out of her fog sooner. Don't wait for her to ask for help. People often mistake numbness and shock for the widow handling things well. She may seem so strong and gracious, greeting people at the funeral and afterward. However, many times it's because she wants everyone to feel comfortable and doesn't want to be pitied. Be proactive in providing help, taking her food, offering dates for getting together, or just setting aside time to listen. While an offer to let you know if there is anything at all that you can do is sincere, it's not likely to be acted upon. It would be better to offer some specific things you can do and propose dates and times when you could meet to work on them together. Caution her not to make big decisions too fast. Being in a very vulnerable state that some have described as robotic, it would be easy for her to regret decisions made 6 months down the road. Remind her to be vigilant of predators who seek out widows through obituaries and other means. Help her understand what few decisions need to be made right away and that many can wait. Let her know you're capable of helping her through the financial and life decisions ahead. While making her aware that you understand the roadmap of decisions that must be made by a surviving spouse, be careful to prioritize. Try to center discussions on what decisions need to be made now and in the near term. Remember her fragile state. Although she may seem strong, you could be seeing a facade in front of numbness and fogginess underneath. Acknowledge her loss. Do not be afraid to mention his name or reflect on shared memories. Most widows don't want to be avoided or barraged with small talk in an effort to make conversation less awkward. If she cries at some point in every meeting, reassure her that it is completely normal for what she's experiencing and let her know that you're comfortable with it. She'll decide how long she wants to share with you when she is upset. She will just need to know that you're not judging her and you're honored to not only be her advisor but also her friend. Anger is a natural part of the process. The widow often feels this emotion toward the deceased, the doctor, the employer, and even God. Also, feelings of anger and envy toward those who still have their companions may come. Be leery of withdrawal or health issues. Be vigilant for any signs that depression and loneliness that come with this loss causes your client and friend to retreat in an unhealthy way or over a considerable time period. Aside from depression, the widowhood effect and caregiver syndrome are concerns. The widowhood effect refers to the 66% greater chance of the surviving spouse dying within the first 3 months after a spouse dies, according to the Harvard School of Public Health. Although the exact cause is not known, it is thought to be due to the lack of time spent taking care of themselves when they were caring for their spouse. And with caregiver syndrome, a Stanford University study reported that 40% of Alzheimer's caregivers die from stress-related disorders before their patient dies. The study demonstrated that family caregivers had lower physical health, higher stress levels, higher rates of chronic disease, and greater risk for depression, social isolation, and financial losses than non-caregiving counterparts. Reach out and stay in touch without being intimidated by any awkwardness. Be genuinely empathetic. Do not encourage her to keep busy and not think about it. Do not change the subject at the sight of a tear. Do not avoid mentioning his name. Do not be trite or impersonal by just commenting on how great she looks or seems to be handling things. Acknowledge her husband's passing. Help her mourn her husband by remembering what was great and special about him. Recognize her grief. Don't expect her to be cured, even if she remarries. She just learns to cope. The whole process of mourning the loss of a loved one is filled with ups and downs. It may seem like the widow is moving forward, only to have setbacks 6 months down the road. This is completely normal and part of the process most go through. Never fully recovering, it can take years to establish a new normal. However, most widow clients and friends I know would encourage you, their advisor, to embrace and understand the process with them as the best course for helping them through this journey. Do not avoid the tough conversations or steer away from the tears. It's all part of it. It's an honor to be someone's trusted advisor through this difficult time. Work hard to understand her to be able to help shorten and soften the grieving process in any large or small way you can throughout it. A successful transition begins with her first knowing you genuinely care. I'm delighted that you joined me for this podcast. Widow can feel like a four-letter word, supporting the surviving spouse within the four-part series, Women in Wealth, Her Unique Needs and Preferences. I hope you'll also join us for other podcasts in this series, Women Taking the Reins, Financial Influence on the Move, Breadwinner Women Sandwiched Between Career, Children, and Caregiver, and Women Navigating Divorce, Independence, and Finances. If you've enjoyed these, check out my podcast series, Retirement Planning. Today is the second best time to start. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Paula McMillan, CPA, PFS, CFP, CGMA. To continue with this conversation, connect with me personally on LinkedIn or via email at pmcmillan@stearnsfinancial.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to visit the PFP website and spend some time visiting the Broadridge Advisors Women's Resource Center. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you more about how to access it. Thanks for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered, and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.